This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, presents the annual Christmas concert Saturday, December 14th at Walton Arts Center. Performing a mix of holiday favorites, musicians will be joined by the SONA singers, regional choirs, the winners of SONA's talent search, and more. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. The University of Arkansas Bookstore Holiday Appreciation Day for U of A faculty and staff is this Thursday, December 12th. Razorback apparel, gifts, and more will be offered. Store locations include the Garland Avenue Bookstore, the U of A Student Union, Northwest Arkansas Mall, and Pinnacle Hills Promenade in Rogers. uofastore.com for more information.
Ahead on this evening's edition of Ozarks at Large, buyers beware after a winter storm, how a simple portrait can help during the holidays, and Christina will sit down with Tim Ernst to talk about capturing Ozark images.
Yes, and this is the end of day two of our end of year fundraiser, a time when we come to you, our listeners, and ask that you pledge your support for public radio. We've had some funding cuts that we just found out about in the last few weeks, actually, in the amount of $66,000, and we are asking you, our listeners, to help us make up that difference. And though the volunteers have gone home, you may make your pledge of support at our website, supportkuaf.com.
And from all of us at Ozarks at Large, thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. Labor unions and their supporters are encouraging Arkansas legislators and federal lawmakers to close policy loopholes they say favor corporate interests over small businesses and workers' rights. A report released by the Economic Policy Institute and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, shows changes in the tax code could result in a fair system that strengthens economic growth. Jim Nichols represents an AFSCME council in Arkansas.
We're calling for three simple initiatives: closing corporate tax loopholes, making Wall Street bankers pay a small transaction fee on trades, and making millionaires pay the same tax rate as the rest of us. Investing those revenues would create over 33,000 jobs in Arkansas and more than 3 million across America.
Nichols says AFSCME and other organizations are supporting the Stop Tax Haven Abuse Act in Congress that would raise about $220 billion in revenue over 10 years and hold accountable corporations that ship jobs overseas. He says currently there is a double standard that negatively impacts small businesses.
A tire shop here in Sherwood is called Sherwood Tire. It's a family-owned, three-generation operation. When they sell a set of tires, and let's say they make a couple hundred bucks on that set of tires, that's subject to state income tax. When Pep Boys or Walmart sell a set of tires, they're able to ship their profit on that set of tires out of state.
Nichols says working families need policymakers to level the playing field and lay the groundwork for a fair tax system that helps working families and small businesses keep more of what they earn.
The Greenwood Police Department will soon have more breathing room. Yesterday, city voters approved a quarter-cent sales tax increase to fund the city's purchase of the old post office and to convert it into a police station. 289 voters turned out to vote, with 213, or just more than 74%, voting in favor of the tax increase, and only 74, or nearly 26%, voting against the measure.
With four straight days of cancellations, area schools are figuring out when to make up days missed. According to state law, public schools are required to offer 178 days of student learning. Fayetteville has already announced its plans to make up snow days, including some Saturday school days. But this morning, the Bentonville School District announced its makeup days for this year. The first two makeup days will be held during the Martin Luther King Jr. and President's Day holidays. For traditional students, the third makeup day will be held on Friday, May 30th, and the fourth held on Monday, June 2nd. For non-traditional students, the third makeup day will be held on Monday, April 28th, while the fourth makeup day will be held on Tuesday, April 29th.
The Razorback women's basketball team remains undefeated after last night's 81-43 win over Tulsa at Bud Walton Arena. The win marks the 11th for the women's basketball team, which continues home play December 20th when it welcomes Tennessee Tech to Fayetteville. Forecast tonight calls for clear skies with overnight lows from 9 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 19 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with highs around 42 degrees. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy with overnight lows around 25.
This is Ozarks at Large. The snow and ice from last weekend's winter storm in Arkansas is slowly melting away. For some homes and businesses, especially in the southern part of our listening area, there was weather-related damage. But did you know that under declared emergencies, certain state laws go into effect to protect Arkansans? Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
As you all know, an early season winter storm flash froze much of us, glazing roads, power lines, and homes down in southern Arkansas with heavy ice and deep powdery snow up north here where temperatures fell to near zero. And now your pipes are frozen. Your regular plumber's booked like through next summer, but you managed to find another guy. You don't know him at all, and his prices seem really high. So take stock, says Sarah Tacker, Senior Assistant Attorney General within the Office of Arkansas Attorney General.
All right. So, you know, the first thing you want to do when you are looking at any kind of storm-related home repair cost is you want to contact the Arkansas Contractors Licensing Board if it's a contractor, or in this case, you want to contact the board that's going to oversee the plumbers. You want to make sure that they're licensed. You don't want an unlicensed individual coming into your home and doing repairs. The other thing we encourage consumers to do is to talk to their friends and family and to get references. Even though you are in an urgent situation, you want to make sure you're not dealing with someone who's going to take your money and then not do a good job.
When Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe declared a state of emergency last Thursday, two consumer protection laws went into effect.
The first is it triggers the price gouging law, which says that many businesses cannot increase their prices by more than 10% during that state of emergency. Now, this can apply to, might apply to generators or to blankets. It applies to gasoline, certainly. And what the state of emergency does is it lets all the retailers know that there's that 10% cap.
The 10% price cap covers the purchase of critical storm survival and recovery goods, including food, water, batteries, fuel, and construction materials. Also, Sarah Tacker says, to beware of storm chasers.
These are usually door-to-door salespersons that come to your home after severe weather has been through the area. We see a lot of these people after windstorms and hailstorms. They might say that they want to inspect your roof to see whether or not your roof is damaged. During ice storms or snowstorms, they come by offering to take limbs out of your yard or, you know, if the off chance that you've had a tree fall, they are going to offer to haul that tree off. The problem is that a lot of these rogue contractors are not licensed, and they demand a lot of money up front. Normally, because consumers are in a situation where there is it's urgent, they want to get their home repaired quickly, the price might not be comparable with other licensed contractors in the area. They are also going to usually demand all of that money up front. And one of two things is going to happen. They're either not going to provide the services at all, or if they provide the services, they're not going to do a good job. The great thing about the law that was enacted in 2013 is that it allows a consumer who's entered into a home repair contract that is going to be paid for by an insurance claim to cancel the contract if the insurance company is not going to pay the claim. And this protects someone if you have been pressured by a rogue contractor on the front end.
Always ask for a contractor's physical address. If none exist, tell them to get lost. It's also critical to consult with your insurance agent to follow correct policy procedures for storm damage repair. get a bid, get everything in writing, including warranty information, timeline, and pricing, cost of materials and labor costs. And know that the Arkansas Deceptive Trade Practices Law is time limited.
It's for 30 days after the state of emergency is over.
Another emergency law concerns rural Arkansans who rely on liquid propane for heating and cooking, enacted in 2009.
The state of emergency also triggers the liquefied petroleum gas law. And this says that during the state of emergency, if you rent your propane tank, in most circumstances, if you rent your propane tank, you can only get propane from the person who owns the tank. That's usually going to be the propane company. But if you're in a circumstance where you rent your propane tank and your regular provider is not delivering or cannot deliver to your location, you have the right to obtain propane from another propane provider. And this just is to ensure that individuals are able to continue to heat their homes during that state of emergency where there is severe weather and they cannot get propane from their regular provider.
But if you do end up getting scammed, there is recourse.
They can visit our website, gotyourbackarkansas.org. You can file a complaint directly from the website. We can also assist consumers over the telephone at our toll-free consumer hotline. That's 800-482-8982.
And if found culprit, penalties are stiff.
Well, price gouging is a violation of the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, and there are civil penalties for violations of that act, and they can be up to $10,000 per violation.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you feel you've been subject to price gouging or a dishonest contractor, you can call the Arkansas Attorney General Consumer Protection Division at 800-482-8982. You can also download and print a complaint form from the website gotyourbackarkansas.org.
KUAF is here for your community. And in this season of giving, we hope you can help out as well. KUAF's Giving Tree will benefit the Outback program from Fayetteville Public Schools during the holidays. The Outback program is looking for non-perishable food items and gently used donations of children's clothing, shoes, and coats. Simply bring your donation to KUAF at 9 South School in Fayetteville and place it under our tree. Thanks and happy holidays.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
More Ozarks at Large ahead, including Christina's conversation with Tim Ernst. But right now, while you've got some time, if you do have time, we'd like to encourage you to go to your computer or your tablet or your smartphone.
Yes, and while you're there with your electronic device of choice, you can head on over to supportkuaf.com to support KUAF. It is our end of year on-air fundraiser.
We did find out that we are no longer a rural public radio station. We've lost that designation, and with losing that designation, we lost some money, too.
Yes, we've lost about $66,000 worth of federal funding that we had been receiving because we were considered what they call rural.
Right.
But because the area has grown, which is great, we now are no longer under that designation, and we will no longer receive those funds.
So we look to our best support vehicle we have. Listeners, people who use KUAF, and you can pledge right now in the amount of your choice online.
At supportkuaf.com.
This is Ira Glass, the host of This American Life, and we asked you to turn in your friends, your family, anybody who you know who listens to public radio all the time, who you think should be pledging. And you did.
Hello?
Hey, I'm trying to reach Waylon.
Yeah, this is.
Hey, Waylon, it's Ira Glass from the radio show This American Life. Have you got a second to talk?
Yes.
So I'm calling because I got this email from somebody who wrote me about somebody who she knows who loves NPR, and I just wanted to read to you from it a little bit. She writes, "We met through online dating 4 years ago, and on his profile page, under the 5 items I can't live without, NPR was listed first. In fact, I singled him out in part because of that. Since I've known him, we listen to Morning Edition and All Things Considered every day, including weekends. On the weekends, we listen to Wait, Wait, and This American Life, and usually Car Talk." She writes, "We leave on NPR, and this man, my husband, used NPR to pick up chicks. NPR helped him find the love of his life, the mother of his 2 children, and yet, in all the time of knowing him, he has never pledged. He agrees we should pledge, but he never does it. Do you recognize this person at all?"
I totally do. That's me. Can't believe you did this to me.
So it seems like you're a pretty devoted NPR listener.
Completely.
How come you won't pledge?
I think it's been laziness mostly.
And you've heard that that our stations are having trouble in the current economy, right?
Probably not as much. I tuned out of the recent pledge drive.
That's right. You tune out of the pledge drive. I forgot who I'm talking to here.
Of course, went shopping for a non-pledge drive station for a week.
Let me tell you, so here are some facts. NPR laid off dozens and dozens of people. And Minnesota Public Radio laid off a lot of people. Our home station, WBEZ, laid off a dozen people, had a $1.5 million deficit. You know, public radio station countries around the country, they're just like any nonprofit, and we depend on donations. And so in a time when the economy's bad, we need the people who actually are doing okay to step up for the people who were donating but can't anymore.
It's compelling. I really would be distraught if NPR disappeared or changed in a significant way to become more commercial. And yeah. I've got some money to make up.
Is there anything you want to say to other listeners who might be listening to you right now?
Don't let this happen to you.
All right, friends, you heard it from the man himself. Don't let this happen to you. Don't make me come after you. Don't make your loved ones turn you in for pledge drive justice. If you listen all the time and you've never pledged, you can make it all up to us right now. Now, in these difficult economic times when public radio is trying to avoid further cutbacks and layoffs, this is a time right now when your dollars really will make a difference. Here's how you pledge.
And though our phone volunteers have gone home for the day, you can always support KUAF at our website, supportkuaf.com, and thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. Every year at this time, dozens, scores really, of nonprofit organizations in our region undertake additional responsibilities and tasks to help out people that could use some assistance. And as Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis reports, some of that help comes in some very unexpected ways.
It's that time of year when holiday greeting cards keep the Postal Service busy. Many of those greeting cards probably contain family portraits, and with the proliferation of cheap digital cameras and smartphones and devices that can snap photos anywhere, most people likely take having their picture made for granted. For some, however, having a formal portrait made can be a rare occurrence. That's where Help Portrait comes in. Across the country, every holiday season, Help Portrait events offer free, formal portraits to those who generally wouldn't be able to afford them otherwise. This Saturday, Help Portrait events will be held locally in Fayetteville and Springdale. Eric Gorder, a journalism instructor at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, helps organize the Fayetteville event and is one of the photographers. He says that to understand the value of the event, you have to look at it in terms of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, a five-stage model that classifies different needs a person has for sustaining life. While physiological needs, such as food and water, are the most essential, the model places less emphasis on social and esteem needs.
This is something that's a little higher at the top of this hierarchy of needs, and a lot of the folks that we're dealing with are just coping with day-to-day struggles of how to pay bills, some of them are just trying to find shelter or meals. And for them, all of a sudden, to have an opportunity to pose for a holiday portrait, you know, it's probably the last thing that was on their radar.
Stephen Ironside, another photographer, says the main goal of the event is to help people. But while other charitable organizations aim to take care of the basic day-to-day needs, Help Portrait is designed to give those who are down on their luck an esteem boost.
I mean, you come in and people are like, we try to be nice, it's warm, there's food, people are laughing, kids, there's activities for them to do.
And a lot of women are having their hair and makeup done for the first time ever.
Yeah. And so it's just, you know, they look at the pictures and it's not rare for them to start crying or be super excited and go run and show all their friends and family who are there. And it just makes them feel special.
The program works like this. Clients are referred to Help Portrait through other area nonprofit organizations, typically through community kitchens and meals programs like those at St. Paul's Episcopal Church and Central United Methodist Church in Fayetteville. When they sign up, clients are given an appointment time. Clients first sign in when they arrive for their appointment on the day of the event, and an event ambassador gives the clients the option of grabbing a snack and getting their hair and makeup done prior to their portrait session.
And then they go in and they'll have a 30-minute appointment with a photographer. And during that time, they can pose with the members of their family, or they may show up single, just depending on whatever it is. Typically, our photographers have big 9-foot backdrops that can cover a large group or individuals. And then they, you know, have a number of poses over the period of 30 minutes. And after that, they then go wait while the ambassador takes them back to go either have some more snacks or wait for their content to be edited. You know, the photographer may shoot 100 images in 30 minutes, and then so they take this to an editor.
The editor's job is to select and edit the best poses from the photo session. 2 prints are made on site, one of which is framed. The clients are also given a CD containing all of the photos taken during the session, so they can have more prints made later. An event like Help Portrait is only made possible through various partnerships. Students from the Paul Mitchell School in Fayetteville volunteer to do hair and makeup for clients, and area restaurants donate food for the clients and volunteers. Gorder says that it's an easy sell to convince businesses to partner on the event.
I think a lot of the businesses that we've approached, in fact, I don't think any have declined. You know, they all see it as a good opportunity to foster goodwill in the community. And, you know, what better project is there than to provide portraits, especially of families who've never had an opportunity to pose together. Yeah. You know, people may have had snapshots done over a period of time. I got to thinking, and I know that I've not posed for a professional portrait since I was in high school. So I think it's something that a lot of people don't really have an opportunity to do or think about going and doing.
In some cases, clients have never had their portrait made, like one particular client that Stephen Ironside remembers who came to the event a few years ago.
He came with his wife. And she was terminally ill, and he knew that when he married her. And they came and had their portraits taken. And between that event and our next year's event, she had passed. And so he came back, and he brought with him her urn with the newspaper obituary cut out and taped to it with Scotch tape on the front, and had his portrait taken with her again. And he said that the photos that we took of her, you know, at the service were the only ones that anyone had of her, you know, besides a couple of random cell phone pictures.
Ironside says that the emotional response he gets from portraits he takes during the event is much different than the reaction he gets from his typical commercial photography and other occasional portrait work.
Usually what happens for me is I'll send the client an email with the link to download photos, and I don't get to see their initial reaction. Sometimes I do with portraits, but not often. And so each time when you get to go personally hand off these prints to these people and see the look on their faces, it's a good feeling to know that, you know, you've actually made them happy. It's kind of one of the few ways that photographers are able to give back like this. You know, doctors can donate their time at community clinics, and lawyers can do pro bono work, and that's pretty standard. But photographers, at least for professional photographers, there aren't as many ways to donate their time and services.
Gorder agrees that the Help Portrait event typically gives the volunteer photographers a different kind of sensation than their usual professional work can.
A lot of my students have become newspaper photographers, and through those newspaper photographers, I've got other professional photographers in my network that we also invite. So, you know, a lot of these people deal with ribbon cutting ceremonies on a daily basis and groundbreaking ceremonies, and that's the kind of work that they typically do, or maybe shoot sports. And this gives them an opportunity to give back, like Stephen said, and also it's very fulfilling to see how you actually impact on someone. It's a little different than a ribbon cutting ceremony or watching somebody turn a spade of dirt over at a groundbreaking ceremony.
This year's Help Portrait event is already set, but planning for the event starts about a year ahead of time. Gorder says that the most difficult logistical hurdle is finding a suitable location. In fact, because the winter weather of the past weekend forced organizers to postpone the Help Portrait events in Northwest Arkansas to this weekend, the event in Rogers had to be canceled altogether. If you'd like to learn more or donate to the Help Portrait effort in Northwest Arkansas, visit helpportraitnwa.org. You can also find the group on Facebook and Twitter. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
It is Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspaper. She's on the phone with us. How are you?
Because there's no room in at KUAF.
That's right. We're taking all the microphones here in the studio.
How's the fundraiser going?
Going well. Going well.
Good. You got a lovely endorsement the other night. Who was that from at the library show? Adams Collins?
No, well, he too, but Leah Jones,
mm-hmm. or Leah Spears.
Leah Spears from Jones and Leah, when she was done, shouted out, support KUAF and support Ozarks at Large. And we thank all of the people who performed and were our guests, including you, Becca.
Just what a great deal of fun. Supporting. But now we need to move on to things to do tomorrow.
Okay, what can we do tomorrow?
Well, you can go to a talk about art. It's called New York Modernism, Painting, Photography, and Poetry, and will include a discussion about Alfred Stieglitz, Georgia O'Keeffe, and some of the others who are included in the current exhibition, the Stieglitz Collection exhibition at Crystal Bridges. Author Linda Level is the speaker at 1 o'clock. That's tomorrow at Crystal Bridges. Free with online reservations at crystalbridges.org. There's a holiday workshop at the Bella Vista Library from 3 to 5 tomorrow for kids of all ages who are invited to stop by and make a card or a craft to take home.
All right.
And if you need a little Christmas, there's a wonderful new adaptation of A Christmas Carol on stage, on the Theater Squared stage at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. It might be a perspective you've never thought about. But you can find out showtimes at waltonartcenter.org. That continues through the weekend.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin-Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose?
The answers to this holiday conundrum can be found in A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It's back in an imaginative performance by Jonathan Winters.
Bah, humbug!
Reconsider the heart of the Christmas season. I'm Susan Stamberg. Join us for a special presentation of A Christmas Carol from NPR.
Tune in this Friday at 9:45 a.m. to KUAF.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And this is day two, the end of day two of our end of year fundraiser, on-air fundraiser, a time where we come to you, our listeners, to maybe encourage you to make a gift if you haven't yet in 2013, or maybe make an additional gift to what you've already given to us this year.
Right. It is the season of giving, so to speak. You know, everybody's out buying Christmas presents and holiday surprises and things like that. Mm-hmm. But maybe put KUAF on your list.
Yeah.
If you haven't made a gift to KUAF yet this year, 2013, now is a great time to do so.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people like to wait until the end of year to give those gifts. And while they're doing taxes and things, you know, mm-hmm. this is a tax-deductible gift. Of course, our phone volunteers have gone home for the day, but you can make your contribution now at supportkuaf.com.
And as we're talking about gifts, you can also give a gift of public radio to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We do gift memberships.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. So you can make a gift in somebody else's name, and we will send them a card mm-hmm. that, you know, kind of says that you did that for them.
Yeah. We'll let them know. know about your generosity, and we thank you. And I'm sure your friends will thank you, your family, your loved ones, whoever you would like to make that membership, that gift membership for. We welcome all members. We have a lovely base of current members, and we love getting new members. So if we haven't heard from you yet, we would love to right now at supportkuaf.com. And from all of us here,
thank you. Tim Ernst is a Fayetteville native who first visited the Buffalo National River in high school. In college, he started his own photography business. But it wasn't until much later that Ernst combined his love for the two, publishing his first picture book of the Buffalo in 1988. He has since released years of calendars, various trail guides, and 14 picture books. The latest, Buffalo River Beauty, was released this fall and is the subject of Ernst's presentations currently occurring across the region this winter. Last month, Ernst visited Fayetteville and stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio for a conversation. He began by saying that though he has been photographing the same locations for decades, he can go back to the same location 50 times and still not get the perfect picture. He's different, the equipment is different, and the lighting is different.
From a photography standpoint, a photograph is just light. It's capturing light. And no 2 days are exactly alike. And Hawksbill Craig is a perfect example of an icon that I think Neil Compton probably made famous back in the 1960s when he first photographed it. And that's one of my favorite subjects. But every time I go there, it's different. It is so different. And there are three pictures of Hawksbill Craig in the new Buffalo River Beauty picture book that I took this past year. And people, ask me, well, gosh, you must have taken everything there is to shoot there. And it's like, no, I've really just started shooting pictures of Hawksbill Craig because it's always different. And I keep going back to places like that, as well as a lot of other places on the Buffalo, because they are different every time I go there. And I don't think I've taken the perfect picture of Hawksbill Craig yet, or of Roark Bluff. Yeah, there's still, I hope I get to go back there many more times. And the Buffalo River itself, of course, is an ever-changing landscape, not only throughout the seasons, but it's still a pretty young river as far as being wilderness. But the National Park Service took it over in 1972, and that's very young as far as the current management style of the river, and it's going to look different every year from now on, every generation. It's even the rocks. I find they look different in different light from year to year. Staining on them, water levels obviously fluctuate constantly.
Well, you say that, and I know like gray rock. It was always,
it used to be a monster that was terrifying people,
yes,
and now it isn't.
Right, yeah. Right. And now, I'm like, what was that, gray rock?
That's right.
That was gray rock, really? Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
The river is very fluid. It's, mm-hmm. It's a living being, and yeah, certainly, everything else is around it as well. That's what I go in search of with my camera, is to try and capture as many of the different personalities of the river and the surrounding area as I can, and then try to get there when the light is magical.
Well, you mentioned that there were three pictures of Hawksbill Craig in here. Mm-hmm. Do you just wake up one morning and say, okay, I would really like to catch Hawksbill Craig at sunset?
Sometimes it is very much spur of the moment. In fact, most of the time it is. And a lot of it is just looking out and seeing what the light is doing and saying, I've got to go here or there or someplace else. There was a place that I went to the last picture that I took this fall. We had a very spectacular fall color season, but because I was doing workshops and starting doing these programs, I didn't get to get out and shoot much. And I was on the river, and I just I knew that there had to be something there, and I just started splashing upstream and working my way up river. But it wasn't until 2 or 3 hours later that I had basically given up, when I turned around and the sun broke through the clouds and lit up these trees, which then their reflections were in the pool of the river, and the rocks that were gathered around were glowing that reflected light from the trees. It was a very magical scene. But it's not one that I went there specifically to photograph. It's just one that happened, and I was lucky enough to be standing there when it did. And
you mentioned happening upon that moment. I was looking at your website, Facebook, and saw a picture of elk. Mm-hmm. I mean, a herd of elk in the river. How did you capture that picture? I mean, they were like 20 elk.
Yeah, that's a big bull elk and his harem of lady friends. And we were actually, that was quite by accident. And that's literally a snapshot. I was down there with a friend of mine taking pictures of fall reflections in the river, just kind of like I described previously. I was just going upstream looking for things, nothing in particular. And we were shooting reflections in the water, and all of a sudden we heard splashing and turned around, and there these elk were gathering into the middle of the river. But we both had the wrong lens on to shoot them with. So we had to scramble to put a different lens on and turn around, and I took three pictures, and they vanished. The first picture, the bull elk was looking away. The second picture, he turned and looked straight at me. And the third picture, they were all turned and running the other direction. So that was literally a serendipitous moment. And very lucky that I was able to get the right lens on fast enough and get the picture taken.
And that was just one of three shots.
That was just one of three shots.
To boom, boom, boom.
That's right. Yeah. And normally when I shoot pictures of something that's more static than that, I may shoot hundreds of pictures before I get one that I'm happy with. And sometimes I don't get anything I'm happy with.
This book, there are probably, 200, 300 pictures?
124.
124. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, my guess was a little off, but okay, 124 pictures. How do you choose those 124 pictures?
Well, that's a tough part of the job. We're in a cycle where I'm doing a new picture book each year, and I usually shoot 40 to 50,000 pictures for each book. And so that's 40,000 to 50,000 pictures a year. And a lot of times, I mean, I wait till usually May or June to sit down and cull through them. And I sit down when I first start the editing process, and I look at every single picture I took all year. I mean, thanks to digital technology, you know, I can see 100 or 200 at a time on the computer screen, and I can go through them pretty quickly. And at the end of that day one, I end up with maybe 200 or 300 pictures that get flagged as potentials. And then the next day, I go look at them with a fresh eye, and a lot of them are similar images, and I try to eliminate those. And it's pretty easy to get down to maybe 150 for 120 for picture book project. But getting rid of that last 15 or 20, it's more difficult. And it's not because they're all incredible pictures. It's just that, you know, by that time, I'm in love with all of them. And because each one of them probably means something to me. It's a special moment that I had out in the woods. And, you know, I don't really want to leave that one out, but I've got one just like it over here. And it's tough getting down to that. And I mean, I could probably put together many books from every year, but I think only doing one and cutting it down from 50,000 to 124 hopefully makes it a better finished product and gives people more of a, you know, an overall view of what I really want to present to them. I mean, I could do a book and I have before of just waterfalls or of, you know, just fall color, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. There's so much great natural beauty in Arkansas that I could continue for years and years and years, and I hope I do, being able to get out and produce picture books of Arkansas.
How long have you been doing calendars?
We did our first calendar back in 1992.
So the 2014 calendar then will be the 22nd? Yeah, I guess.
No, the 14th.
14th, 92. Oh.
2002, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm
you're
like,
right.
Wait, hang
yeah.
on. So 22 yeah. years.
We did our first calendar in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you choose pictures for those, I mean, are you winter for January and fall for October? I mean, just kind of the...
Well, that's the way I normally do it. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes, you know, those are difficult to pick because pictures going in a book, you know, you leaf through it and it's not something you dwell on. A monthly calendar is on your wall for a month. Mm-hmm. And you know, people, you know, the greatest picture on the planet, half the planet isn't going to like. And, you know, it's difficult to pick stuff. And Sometimes I will pick things for July when I know it's hot and miserable, and I put an ice picture or a snow picture in July because it gives, or a picture maybe, and I think in the new one, which I will bring you a copy, the July photograph, I think, either July or August, it's a very blue picture. It has a very cooling effect to it. And likewise, in the wintertime, I still try to have a winter scene, but I like for it to be warm colors sometimes. And so it, you know, it kind of warms your heart on a cold winter day. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, yes, as we record this, it's November 2013, and mm-hmm. I have my, you know, my November Tim Ernst calendars hanging on my wall. Little, I don't know, push there, I guess.
But, well, and thank you. And that picture was actually taken in the late summer when it was very hot, and that's at Pea Ridge National Military Park, which is my nod to veterans. But I like it for this time of the year. It's not blazing fall color, but it's a nice warm sky. And, you know, certainly on a day like this, it's welcoming. But the reason I did that one is because of Veterans Day in November.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, so here's a picture of pine cones in this newest book. I mean, mm-hmm. As we've learned, my judge of numbers is not very good. 25.
It's a whole bunch of pine cones.
Did you just walk up on this?
Well, that's actually a picture that I have hunted for years. I've done pictures like that of acorns and rocks and dogwood berries and stuff like that. But I always wanted a pine cone one. And it wasn't until this year that I just literally stumbled across that. And that's just, there were literally hundreds of pine cones that had kind of collected in a depression. And from this great big giant pine tree. And that picture, I didn't arrange all of those, but I did remove some of them and kind of got down to that layer of them. And I've always loved pine trees and pine cones, and I just love the graphic nature of things sometimes. You know, you look at that, there isn't a central subject, although it's kind of funny. Whenever that comes up on the big screen during a program, it's usually a 12-foot wide screen, what I see is one of the pine cones looks like a walrus because there are two pine needles sticking out from it, and it just looks like walrus teeth to me.
When it's humongous, yeah.
And so that's what I see when I look at that picture. But I love pattern pictures like that, and I do spend a lot of time when I'm out looking down, looking for things like that, you know, whether it be fall leaves or pine cones or rocks or whatever. I find great beauty in detail in the woods. I mentioned about the Buffalo River in Arkansas having a lot of intimate beauty. And, you know, if you look close enough, there's so much really neat stuff that a lot of people look past it. And photographers do, too. We all love to get a wide-angle lens so that we can get everything in. Well, the problem with that is when you get everything in and you put it on the page of a print or a book or on the web page, everything becomes so tiny and so diluted that, you know, I much prefer to get a closer view of something to where you isolate one subject or a pattern of subjects like the pine cones and try and eliminate everything else. So while I still do wide-angle lenses, I try to pick one subject and get in really, really close to it, which you can do with a wide-angle lens. You can get just a couple inches away from, say, a wildflower, and then that wildflower looms very big and very powerful in the foreground.
Favorite place in Arkansas?
Favorite place in Arkansas would have to be my cabin with my wife. We spend a lot of time sitting out on the back deck just not only enjoying each other, but we actually see a lot of weather coming through from our vantage point. And it's really neat to see big storms. And there's a lightning bolt in here that covers a full page. It was just really dramatic.
And was that from your back porch?
That was shot from our back porch. We actually, at a distance, we can see the thunderheads that make their way down the Arkansas River from Fort Smith to Clarksville and chugging on down there. We can see the tops of those thunderstorms. And when there's a lot of lightning in them, we get quite a lightning show. But there's also a picture or two from the book of the canyon down below us that we can see that's filled with fog. And it changes every day out there in the woods, and every day is special. And so, you know, as far as an actual point, that would be it. As far as a region, Buffalo River, certainly. As far as the United States, Arkansas, I've spent a lot of time photographing in a lot of other places in the United States, and I find Arkansas the most rewarding photographically on a year-round basis.
Well, because your back porch is not a public place, and I can't just go sit down on your back porch, and our listeners can't just go sit down on your back porch. What is the most underrated place maybe that you photographed that we can go check out, that we can go see through maybe the eyes that you've seen it through?
Well, I think as far as underrated that pertains to the Buffalo River, you know, the icons like Hawksbill Creek and Hemmed In Hollow and places like that, certainly. But, you know, I think you can go anywhere on the Buffalo River, get out of your car, put on a pair of wading boots or sneakers, and just walk upstream or walk downstream. And I do that frequently, looking for pictures. And I think that the Buffalo River, in particular, with its twists and turns, or really any small creek even, we have so many here in the Ozarks, that you just get off the road, even get off the trail, and just stomp up and down the creek, and you'll find just a lot of really incredible things. Again, a lot of this intimate scenery. And I've done that with hundreds and probably thousands of streams, and, you know, I've just scratched the surface of what we've got here in Arkansas. So there are just so many places where you can get out and see really spectacular things without being in crowds of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for those that perhaps can't get out to go see these things, you do give presentations, and you still do have some coming up in our listening area and throughout December. Why do you give these presentations?
Well, we try to give 15 or 20 presentations each fall in November and December. They're all free and open to the public, and we really encourage folks to get out. Just like we just came from a program across the street at the Fayetteville Library, and there were 125 people there or something like that, and it was a packed house. And I think seeing this program, especially with the dramatic music and everybody's reactions to different things going on, makes it almost an intimate experience like the Buffalo River is. And I think that people get to share that, and they see the pictures 12 feet wide, and it makes it very special. And that's part of what we want to do, is bring the great beauty of whatever our project is to the people up close and personal, to where they can enjoy it to its fullest.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure.
Yeah. Tim Ernst is an Arkansas wilderness photographer. His photographs have appeared in hundreds of national, regional, and local publications, including National Geographic, Audubon, Backpacker, Reader's Digest Books, and The New York Times. To see if Ernst will be in your area to present his slide presentation, visit timernst.com/slideprograms. Last weekend's program in Bentonville has been rescheduled for January 18th at the Bentonville Public Library. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is the evening edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Phone volunteers have gone home.
Right.
And that's okay, because if you've been meaning to give for the first 340-some days of 2013 to KUAF and you haven't yet, even though there aren't phone volunteers, there's a way to give.
There is our website, supportkuaf.com.
Yep, and you can give there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you wake up at 3 a.m. thinking, gee, I should have given to KUAF, I totally forgot, you can do it right then.
Sure.
If you would like to speak with a volunteer, they will be back here at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And if you'd like to hear a story of how speaking to a phone volunteer kind of helped somebody, listen to this.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And as you consider right now whether or not you want to go to the phone and pledge, please consider the story of a listener, like yourself, named Harlan. One morning, Harlan was listening to the pledge drive, as you are doing right now.
And I call up, and I reach a pledge taker. And in my semi-conscious state, I'm trying to make a few sort of clever remarks. And she is making clever remarks back, and she's really quite funny.
Now, the thank you gift that Harlan wanted to get for his pledge was tickets to this event, this public radio event that his local public radio station was having.
So she's giving me the details about the show and the date of the show, and then she says, and I am free on that day. So I went, okay, and I don't even know her name at this point. I thought she was just joking around, as we had been joking. And I said, well, just in case, what's your name? So she told me her name. And then I hang up, we're done with my pledge, and I hang up the phone. And I start thinking, was she really inviting me to ask her to go to the show with me? Or was this just, you know, a humorous aside?
Right.
And I thought, like, what are the chances that this would actually work out? I've never met this person. I only know her name. That's all I know about her. And that she takes pledges for public radio. And finally, I sort of screwed up my courage and I called back. Of course, I get a completely different, there's like 100 people in the room taking pledges or something like that. Sure. So I get a completely different person.
Now, can I just ask, did you feel like you were going to have to make a second pledge?
No.
Because I got to say, that could totally be a way that we could double our income here at Public Radio.
Well, let me put it this way. If I had known what was going to happen, I definitely would have been willing to make a second pledge.
Because, of course, as you've probably guessed, he does, in fact, reach the woman, and they go to this public radio event, and it's incredibly fun, and they start dating. Totally happy thing. So if people out there are listening right now and thinking about calling the pledge line, I feel like the lesson of your story is anything could happen. The world is waiting to open up. Anything could happen when you dial that unfamiliar number.
Well, and it was literally true here, yeah. This whole completely unexpected thing happened.
This is my message to our audience right now. If you're listening, is embrace the present. Embrace it. Who knows what can happen? Right, Harlan?
Absolutely. I want to pledge again just listening to you now.
Do something different. Who knows where that can lead? It can lead anywhere. The feeling you're going to get. You don't even know this feeling that you're going to get when you call. Because I know that inside you, there's a person who's been meaning to call, a person who's been meaning to go to the phone, a person who has been intending all along every pledge drive to make a pledge. That person is in there. Let that person out for just a second. Go to the phone. Let that person take the stage for a second and see how that feels. See how it feels. You can't even imagine how good that is going to feel and how that feeling is going to cascade through your day today.
And you can support this public radio station, KUAF, at supportkuaf.com.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. And KUAF is supported by Ozark Natural Foods, Northwest Arkansas's consumer-owned food co-op since 1971, offering local organic produce and all-natural groceries, bulk foods, health and wellness products, and a full-service deli. Ozark Natural Foods, located in the Evelyn Hill Shopping Center or on the web at ozarknaturalfoods.com.
Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
Talking about giving a lot lately.
Season of giving.
That is. It is. And before we end this evening edition of Ozarks at Large, remind you that if you haven't given in 2013 and you listen to KUAF Ozarks at Large and Performance Today, we're encouraging you to give a financial gift in the amount of your choice.
A tax-deductible financial gift.
Yes, that's a nice little addendum to put on that. You decide the amount, and you can do it online right now at supportkuaf.com.
You can. It's a really easy process. So just go pick up your computer or iPad or tablet and just go to supportkuaf.com. If you've given before, you just have to enter your name, and it will find you. And just ask a few simple questions, how much you'd want to give and how you would like to give. Credit card, check, bank draft.
You betcha.
Really easy.
SupportKUAF.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Berryville. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Again, the web, SupportKUAF.com.